Oh, the depths of the riches, of the wisdom, of the knowledge of God. How incomprehensible are his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. These are the words from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans today. And they tell us about the great mystery of our faith, the most blessed Trinity. Truly an unbelievable mystery, as it were, something that we could never grasp without divine revelation. And we know how it is a great mystery. For the great St. Augustine one day was walking, contemplating the mystery as he was walking on the beaches of North Africa. And he was trying to think about the Blessed Trinity. What is it? And so forth. He wanted an explanation. And he saw a little boy on the beach with a pail of water, and the boy was emptying it into a hole. Then he'd go to the ocean, which is really the sea, Mediterranean Sea, and he would take the water from the sea and put it in the little hole. And he went back and forth, many, many times. And St. Augustine got a little distracted and was wondering what the little boy was doing. And he went over to the little boy. He said, "Little boy, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm going to empty that ocean, the ocean here, the sea. I'm going to put it in a little hole." And the great Saint Augustine said, "Don't you understand? You can't do that. Look how big the sea is, and look how small your hole is." And the little boy, who was really an angel, said to him, "Neither can you comprehend and understand the great mystery of the Blessed Trinity. It is beyond your finite mind." And the little boy disappeared. So this story illustrates how incomprehensible it is for our minds. We cannot fathom God. God who is infinite. God who created everything out of nothing. If you want to understand God, you go down to the ocean and look at the ocean. Who can understand the great ocean? Look at the stars and the moon and the sun and all that. Who can understand this universe? And yet God created it out of nothing. Nothing. Let there be light. Let there be the sea, and let there be land, and let there be birds, and so on. And after God created it all, he said it is good. So if we want to understand God, we have to look at his creation, St. Paul would also tell us in Romans. From the visible creation, we could know about the invisible God. And even then, it's only what our mind can understand. We cannot understand God. We just have to bow our head and have faith. As St. Anselm says, faith seeking understanding. First you believe. You believe in God, and you believe in the most blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it's been revealed to us, as we see in today's gospel. Go therefore, baptizing all men in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who could understand this? St. Augustine would also tell us that from all this, we can see from all eternity, we will have to bow and adore God because we won't understand it. That's going to be one of the great joys of heaven. For all eternity, we will look and contemplate the beauty of God, adoring him and praising him and honoring him. We'll have such great joy in this. This is what we've been made for, to be with God for all eternity, praising and honoring him in his greatness and his glory and his beauty and his loveliness. We can't understand it now, but we all have seen pictures, and we go to various places on earth and we contemplate the beauty of the seashore or the canyons or the mountains or the trees and the forest and the rivers and so on, and we marvel at some of them. What must God be like who made all these things? And that's what we'll be doing for all eternity in a loving relationship, a spousal relationship. Because do not forget, as we've said at other places, that we are the beloved of God. We are his church, as St. Paul tells us, how God loves us and sacrificed himself for his church. And he made the same analogy with husbands and wives. Wives, love your husbands, and husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved his church and sacrificed himself. So we are all the brides of Christ, as it were, and we'll be in a very special relationship, contemplating the beauty of God. For, also St. Paul tells us, for from him and through him and unto him are all things, to him be glory forever. Romans 11:26. From him all things and creatures owe their existence. Everything comes from God. We all of us owe our existence to God. What we have now in our bodies and our souls comes from God. We can see, we can hear, we can think, we can speak. These are marvels when you think about it. How do we speak? How do we think? How do we hear? But we do. It's all from God. God could take them away, and sometimes he will with some people, and then the absence will make us realize what we're missing. But for the most part, thank the Lord, most of us have been given these wonderful gifts. Everything in creation comes from God. Everything. The land, the sea, the water, the plants, the vegetation, the animals. Everything comes from God. St. Paul tells us, for from him and through him and unto him are all things. Through him, all things maintain their being through him. Everything is maintained in life through God. Our existence comes from God, and through him we are able to live. For example, if God were to take away his presence from us and not think of us anymore, we would die. We wouldn't be here. We'd be dead. Only through God are we maintained. God maintains our existence. All right? And if he were not to think about us and keep us in existence, we would die. We would die. All things come through God. Through him, all things are maintained in their being. So our very being today, sitting here in this chair, in this pew, is maintained by God. God forbid, if God were to say no more, he won't sustain us in our life, we would die. As you know, some people do die in church. We often hear about that. I've heard it over the years, that so-and-so went to Sunday Mass and died right in the church. God forbid, we don't want that to happen today, but it's a nice place to die, right? When you think about it, here you are at Mass. But if God were to take away his power, we would die. We're only in existence. We don't control our own existence. And if God were to take away his power, we would be no more. So through him, everything is maintained. Everything. And everything you have is maintained through God, as I mentioned before. Your thinking, your talking, your listening, and so on. If it were not for God, you couldn't listen to me, right? God gave us the power to hear. And you couldn't think about what I was saying, right? So God maintains everything. All things come from God, and through God are maintained. And unto him all things are returned. Unto him, since we are utterly dependent on God, our true goal must be him. Since we're utterly dependent upon God, we must render everything unto him. Everything we have, all the powers that we have, everything we do should be given to God. After all, we wouldn't be able to do it if he didn't help us. If we didn't have our hands to cut the vegetables and to cook the meat and everything, we wouldn't be able to cook. If we didn't have eyes, we wouldn't be able to see what we're doing. So everything must be rendered back unto him. All things come from God to us, and we must render all things back to him. Our very lives, when you think about it, are so dependent upon God that we should be so grateful that we want to give him everything. And when you think about it and you pray on it and you're inspired by the Holy Spirit to realize the truth of what life is all about, the truth, the absolute truth of what life is all about, since everything comes from God and is sustained by God, kept alive by God, maintained by God, we must give everything back to God. We don't own our lives. People say, it's my body, it's my this, it's my that. It's not your body. It's God's. If he were to take it away from you, you would be dead. You're dead. That's it. Gone. Forgotten. No more. No more power. So we give everything back to God. And of course, this should make us so grateful and thankful. Where would we be? And of course, we often see this happening as we get older, and our powers, our manly powers or our womanly powers are taken away from us as life goes on. This is what's a wonderful thing about old age, because we begin to lose some of these things. All right, we can't walk as well as we should. We can't talk as well as we should. We can't think. We forget. We can't run around like we used to when we were young. We can't work like we used to. We're gradually being weaned away. And if we live long enough, we'll really be weaned away. We reach our 80s or our 90s or our 100. We can hardly walk around, move around, maybe even think. See, God takes everything away in a way to prepare us for the next life. We're weaned away from this life. And then we begin to prepare for the next. It's the most wonderful thing. So don't think of old age as something terrible. While your body in a way is decaying and being weaned away, you are being prepared for eternity. A woman was telling me recently about her poor mother. She was 95 years of age. She could not do anything except pray the Hail Mary. She prayed the Hail Mary all day long. Isn't that a nice way to go when you think about it? So in a way, we're prepared for old age by what we do in life. So if you've been devout during your life, as it were, as the tree leans, so shall it fall, and you've been praying, and then you slowly move into eternity, you will be doing the same things you've been doing, and maybe those are the only things you could do. St. Alphonsus Liguori, when he was getting old, he was senile. And he kept on wondering, did I have Mass yet? Did I pray the rosary yet? The great Albertus Magnus, at the end of his life, he couldn't put two sentences together. The greatest mind in Europe, as it were, the teacher of Thomas Aquinas and Bonaventure, could not put two sentences together. So we're sustained by God. Everything comes from God, maintained by God, and must be given back to God. And he keeps us going in everything. St. Augustine would remind us that in everything we do it only with the help of God. You only got here today at Mass because God helped you to get here. If you lost your mind, you probably wouldn't find the place. I had one woman who got lost. She couldn't get here for adoration. She couldn't find the place, even though she's been coming here every Sunday. You laugh, but it could happen. You could lose your mind a little bit, and you don't know where you're going. Right? So everything we do is because of God helping us. And for that, we should be very grateful. So God is incomprehensible also in his works. God's providence works in all things. Nothing happens without God permitting it or willing it. Now, that's a general principle that you must understand. God's divine providence governs everything. We could not do anything without God's providence, without God's help, as I've been saying. Right? And God permits things to happen. He permits bad things to happen maybe to us. Maybe getting old, some people would look at as a bad thing, but in reality, it's not. It's a good thing. Losing our mind, maybe, as it were, as we get older, getting Alzheimer's disease or becoming senile or whatever else, it sometimes could be a good thing. because then we'll be so utterly dependent upon God, and we'll think about God or do the things, as I said, we were doing before. So without God, we could do nothing. So God sends us troubles and failures, but God will always bring good out of anything. That's where God's power. God is so great and so powerful and knows so many things that he can bring good out of apparent evil. And he may let people do some evil things. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that God is so powerful and so good and so kind that he's not going to let evil men destroy his creation. Think about that. God may permit war. God may permit abortion, sickness, disease, or whatever. But God will always bring good out of it. We cannot always see it. In a way, God writes straight with crooked lines. We only see the crooked lines, but God is writing straight. He knows what he's doing. And nothing happens in this world. Nothing, nothing, nothing happens in this world without God's permitting it and willing it. He may permit people to do evil because he's given us a free will. He may commit people to murder people. Right, we've seen that over the last few months. He allowed things to happen that were just terrible tragedies. Why did God allow that to happen? Some people said at Auschwitz, how could God allow such a thing? The Auschwitz, all those people being cremated. How could God, if there's a God in heaven, how could he allow this? Well, God allowed it. And from that, we know we got one saint, two saints, Edith Stein, Blessed St. Teresa Benedicta, Carmelite nun, a Jewish woman, and St. Maximilian Kolbe, who was cremated. And while he was in the bunker, he and the several men who were with him were praying to God and honoring God and singing hymns, astounding the German officers. They could not believe how joyful these men were going to death, because they know that death was going to bring them to eternity and to God. So God will bring good out of whatever evil men do. We may not understand it. We may only understand it in eternity. We may understand it a little bit with the insight that the Holy Spirit gives us and with our faith, but we'll only understand it fully in eternity. That's why Jesus told St. Faustina, "No one will be able to understand my mercy, will fathom my mercy. Neither angel nor man will be able to fathom, understand my mercy for all eternity." All eternity, we will marvel and praise the mercy of God with what we see and what we know, because God is so all-powerful and all-good. In the fullness of time, my friends, God showed us himself. The Trinity is veiled in the Old Testament, mainly because with all the various nations around the Jews, it would have been very confusing to say that were three persons in one God. They wouldn't be able to have understood it. So God only veiled his true existence in the Old Testament. We see this little veiling being unveiled in the prophet Isaiah, where he says, "Holy, holy, holy," when he had a vision of heaven and God. "Holy for the Father, holy for the Son, and holy for the Holy Spirit." And even that was veiled. We can only understand that later when we know about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three angels who came to Abraham was another unveiling of the mystery of the Trinity. This was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit appearing as angels to Abraham and sitting down with him. So we didn't have it in the Old Testament. Only with the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is why we're so blessed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man to save us. All right? To give us love. And we learn from that, from John 3:16, how God so loves the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. That's the most beautiful quote. 3:16, John 3:16. God sent his only begotten Son. What does that mean? His only begotten Son. What does it mean? It means that the Father, from we know from the inner working of the Blessed Trinity, the Father loves himself and begets the Son. Think about that. We know Father and Mother come together, and the two of them come together and beget a child. Can't do it alone. Cannot do it alone. Father and Son come together and beget a child. But God begets his, he loves himself and begets the Son. And the Father and Son love one another, and the fruit of that love is the Holy Spirit. Now, in essence, that's the inner working of the Blessed Trinity. Don't ask me any more about it. It's just too complicated, and I don't know. But we will know when we see God face to face. We will see it. And as I mentioned, for all eternity, we will praise and honor it. And it will be revealed more and more to us. We will have to spend eternity trying to understand God. Now think about that. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. Interesting, it's coming to my mind. Do you remember we often learned the fall of the angels? Did the angels see God before the test? I always thought they did. I always thought they were up in heaven and they saw God. But they didn't. They were given a test. Would they bow down and adore the Son of God who would become a man? And they said, no, we will not serve a man. And they said, we will not serve a woman, the mother of Jesus, who would also be the queen of angels over all the angels. And they would rebel at that. They would not serve. But by parentheses, they never saw God. They never saw God face to face. Because if they saw the beauty of God, they would never have sinned. Just like us, if we had seen the beauty of God, we would never sin in this life. Because we would love him so, so much. And that's why we want to ask God for the grace to love him. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love thee more and more. Because the more we love God, the less we will sin. How can we sin when we love somebody so much? And the reason why people don't sin so much these days is because they don't know God. They don't love God. If we were to see God face to face, we would never sin. We would love him. And there would have been no hell if Lucifer and his angels had not said, we will not serve. If they had seen God, right, truly seeing God, as we will face to face in heaven, they would never have sinned. They would have bowed down and do anything for God. Right? Will you bow down and adore my Son who will be a man? Will you bow down and honor his mother who will be the queen of the angels? And they said, we will not serve. And so people today say, we will not serve. And even people today don't even believe in God. When you think about it, they don't believe in God. They say, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. And of course, the scripture says, only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. I usually tell people, you don't look like a fool. To me, a fool doesn't make any sense. He just babbles around. He doesn't know what he's doing. You don't look like that to me. You're no fool. So therefore, ergo, you must believe in God, even though you don't know it yet. And how could you not believe in God? All right, so that's what we ought to hit them with. They're a little foolish in a way to even think that they don't believe in God. Because if they, of course, would see God face to face or see God in his creation, then they would truly believe. But they're so in love with their own intelligence, they can't see in front of them. So we need to pray for them. And that's why Our Lady came to Fatima, so that we would pray and honor her son and not commit any sins. Men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. We must stop offending God, who has given so much, who's so incomprehensible, who's so wonderful, who's so powerful and so good and so loving of us. And we need to pray to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, which is the fear of offending God because we love him. We don't want to offend God because we love him. So let us pray for the Holy Spirit, that he would fill us with the gift of fear of the Lord. Let us also pray for the Holy Spirit, that he would give us the gift of understanding, so we would understand the mystery of the Trinity. And let us ask for the gift of wisdom, so that we would love God. Let us ask for the gift of knowledge, so that we will see how important it is to serve God in this world, and how fruitless this world is compared to eternity. So we want to do this. Also the gift of piety, when you come down to all seven gifts. We want to give God all the honor and glory he wants. Let us also, while we're at it, ask for the gift of fortitude, so that we would hunger and thirst for God and his justice, and be powerful to all around us in our love for God and fearless for God's glory. Let us ask for also the gift of counsel from God, the Holy Trinity, especially the seven gifts, who will give us the gift of counsel to know what we should be doing, when we should be doing it. God has supplied us all these things for our salvation because he's so incomprehensible, so good, and so loving. And he's a Trinity, three in one. Three divine persons, all consubstantial, of the same substance, all one. Three God, three persons in one God, one divine nature, one substance. So we pray to that, and we ask to understand this incredible mystery. And let us pray that the world would see how much God loves them. For God so loved them all that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him will not perish, but will have life everlasting. All those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, that he's truly the Son of God. And as you know, there are many people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. They may think they love God, but they don't believe in his Son. So we pray for them. We pray for all the world, as Our Lady asked. And we pray the Holy Rosary, where we honor the Father with the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We honor the Son continually in the Hail Mary. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And we honor the Trinity. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. My friends, this is why Our Lady wants us to pray the Rosary, so that we will praise and honor the Blessed Trinity, the greatest mystery of our faith, the essence of God, the mystery of God's existence. And we ask for more faith and understanding, as St. Anselm says, faith seeking understanding. First, we believe that there is three in one, three persons in one God, and then we try to understand it. But we first believe, we bow our heads and say, I believe. May the Lord bless you.